So, from what I gathered, was he slipped in the shower, and when he fell, he jacked his ankle up. I don't know how it actually happened. And sometimes when something like that happens, so you really don't know exactly how you did it, because you just know you're in pain. And then I'm driving to the game, and I'm actually with our O-line coach. He gets a phone call. And I kind of like hear him talking on the phone, and I'm kind of like going, who's he talking to? And then I just be like, all right, LTLC at the stadium. And I'm kind of like, what just happened? And then I get a little bit of the details of what happened. And then now it goes into, okay, what's the next step? So once we found that out, everything kind of went in motion. And then it was more about how hurt is he? Because we didn't know, you know, he's at the hotel. So we had to get him over there, x-ray him, all those type of things. So I had to move on quick as far as, okay, what's our plan now? And make some adjustments and try to reconfigure what we needed to do in the game.
And how hurt is the expected?
Yeah, so we're still kind of going through as far as how long, or, you know, is it day to day, week to week, you know. We just, every day is going to be different because, once again, everybody heals differently. And we're just going to have to see. We're going to see how it feels tomorrow. You know, he feels a little bit better today. How's he going to be tomorrow? And then how is he going to be Wednesday? So, I mean, obviously, the sooner that he gets back, the better for us.
Adam, because of his history, the question is, was he sober?
I mean, we're at the team. He's at the team hotel. And, you know, I mean, it's 8:30 in the morning or whatever. You know, I mean, we got mandatory breakfast, and then the guys drive to the game. So, I mean, I think the guy was taking a shower and slipped. I mean, this is not the first time I've seen something weird happen pregame. I mean, 2009, I saw a guy slip in Cincinnati because they were putting sunblock on, and he had cleats on. Separates his shoulder, and we already had the inactives in. I mean, it's like one of those one in a thousand, one in a million type deals. And when it happens, it's a bad deal because it's just, you talk about unexpected. That's an unexpected thing to happen.
Is he on crutches, Adam?
No, he's walking.
Taking a shower 4 or 5 hours before a game. I mean, is that fairly?
I mean, he woke up, and I mean, I took a shower before I came to the game. You know. I mean, I jumped in the shower and got ready for the game and was heading over to the stadium.
And, Adam, how was Laramie? Was he, I guess, disheartened or disillusioned?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, that cross between embarrassment and, you know, really I'm missing a game because of this. And he knows him being out there makes us better. And he's a competitor and he really, you know, he knows we count on him being healthy and being a part of our offense.
How much did his absence hurt?
Anytime you lose a starter, it doesn't help you. So, and especially the way that we had practiced all week and kind of what we had going and planning on what we planned on doing during the game, and all of a sudden two guys get thrown out of position that they weren't expecting to play at.
How long ahead of time did you know that Brandon wasn't going to be able to go?
We made that. We pretty much made that decision. I think me and him started texting. I want to say maybe Thursday, that he was kind of like something's not right. Something's not right. So then, as more tests kind of came to me, then we realized there's no chance for us to get him out there. We couldn't do that to him. I mean, he had lost 12 pounds. He looked, even Sunday, he still looked like he was drained. Couldn't eat. So. We just got to figure out, you know, make sure that we get his strength back, get his weight back up.
Have you ruled out mono?
They did. They know what it was, so they went through all those tests. I think there's some kind of legal precedents that I can't, like, talk about or something. I'm going to go with that one.
Was it spreading at all? Did you notice other players?
No. No. It's not, nothing contagious.
Adam, three quick offensive line questions. Why Billy Turner at left tackle and not Jermond Bushrod?
Well, the one thing about doing that is, and you don't know unless you've actually had to do this, but he's played right guard since he's got here. And to throw him out at left tackle with no reps, and it's just something that, because we've been so deep as far as who would play left tackle. And, you know, we felt like that was our gave us our best chance.
Dallas Thomas and not Anthony Steen at left guard?
Well, Anthony kind of was up just in case. I mean, originally when we heard this, I was going, all right, so Steen, I wasn't even sure was going to be able to go on Sunday. And I started making contingency plans in my brain of, all right, so if Deion has to play tackle, that's what I started thinking of, because I thought we were going to have six linemen up. And then I went to the trainers, and they're like, if something really happened to where he had to go in the game, he can play. It's just he doesn't have full strength. He hadn't really leaned on guys to test it out to that extreme.
And how did Mike Pouncey do?
Really well. Really well. It was like he was never gone.
Adam, I want to ask you a little bit about Ryan Tannehill, what you said yesterday. You've obviously shown that you're not afraid to pull a guy who is underperforming. For example, bench Byron Maxwell. Yesterday you said Ryan's your quarterback for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we could ask 100 times and it wouldn't matter. Is quarterback a different position for you because you said that? Or has Ryan just earned that respect from you? What was behind that?
Well, I know when we have 18 dropback passes and he's hit or sacked on 9 of them. And then the completions we do have, he's got guys in his face. So I'm supposed to blame him for that? I get a look at the whole picture. I'm calling the plays. I know what it's supposed to look like, and it's not looking like that right now as far as what's going on around him. And when we start cleaning some things up and we give him a chance to perform at the level that I think he's going to perform, and if he doesn't do it, that's one thing, but I need to see to where we get a chance in protection. We're right on a lot of the other things that we're supposed to be doing. Anyway, is he going to have mistakes? Yeah. That last interception, I told him before he went out there, I was like, when I call this play, you're going to have to fit it in. He tries to fit it in, and he gets jacked to the point where I thought he was going to get his rotator cuff blown out and his knee blown out. And then everybody gets pissed at him. So, I mean, everybody wants to blame that position. It's the easy one to do because you can see completion, incompletion, interception. When you hit your back foot and you get sacked, not much you can do about it.
Adam, do you feel like you can make a decision on him after 16 games of protection stays like it is?
I mean, that's so far away right now. Like, I know everybody wants to rush to judgment. I mean, we're 5 games in. So I know this. We're going to go back to work on Wednesday, and then we're going to figure out a way to get better.
How much can the protection get cleaned up this week? It would seem like getting two guys on the left side back.
That always helps. I mean, the closer we can get to that starting line, the better. Just keep tinkering. Like, my biggest thing is, for me, as a play caller, I have to find what do we do well and then try to emphasize that. There's times we're doing certain things where I feel like that's who we are starting to become, and then something will fall off and we have some kind of issue, whether it be protection or somebody running the wrong route or we make a wrong read. So the biggest thing for us is we need to kind of separate ourselves as, what type of team are we as far as offensively? And it's been a little bit of a struggle for us. One, we just haven't had enough plays to really kind of emphasize anything.
So Jawan James, his rookie year, he was okay. He was all right. I mean, he even played left tackle last year. He was hurt. This year, he's not good. Why is that?
To say he's not good, I think that's a little extreme. I would say this. If there's, I don't want to say 75 because we're like averaging like, what, 50. But if there's 50 plays in a game, he's having 45 really good plays to where he's doing things right, and then we're having 5 rough plays or 5 bad plays. It's just when you're at tackle, those 5 bad plays really stick out. And that's the thing. I know we've changed some technique things that we were trying to do with our tackles, and some guys it takes to quicker than others. And some of the things that we're trying to do with him are different than what he's done in the past. And it's about sometimes of trusting your coaching, trusting the scheme that we're trying to do, and selling out and being all in. And sometimes what happens is when you're in the middle of a game and bullets are flying, you're trying to just figure out a way to get the guy blocked. and then you go away from a certain technique, and it's a group working together that can put you in a bad spot. And that's what's happened to him a couple times. So I know he's trying to do it right. It's just we need him to kind of pick up the pace of, you know, doing it right all the time.
Yeah, so that explains the physical. Yesterday on the Derek Morgan sack, he doesn't – I mean, Morgan is running at Tannehill, runs right past –
He wasn't the only one. He wasn't the only one messed up on that. Everybody was. I mean, we're running a slip screen, and we're totally wrong up front. Everybody's wrong. So I mean, that was a full bust by everybody.
Yesterday after the game, you used the word inept. Ryan Tannehill after the game said, "We're definitely making progress." Are there areas or units of the team that you feel definitely making progress?
I think the one thing that I know I was encouraged about was the way that Jay ran. And even when we had a couple miscues up front where we had a free runner, he found a way to either make that guy miss or just get us to the line of scrimmage. I mean, there was a couple times where he got nine yards on nothing, and he made it happen. And the fact that I saw a guy that was not allowing somebody else's mistake become his mistake, he was trying to make something happen, which was – that was big for me. I told him today, I was like, what you did yesterday – was outstanding as far as the way his ball security in traffic, the way that he found a way to try to keep us ahead of the sticks. That was very encouraging for me. And we did have like Pouncey being back. We had no issues up front as far as communication with the mic points. I mean, he played really well, but just kind of getting him back, you know, we just need to get a little bit of that chemistry going back. At some point, we'd like to get, you know, our starting five in there, you know.
Tough, I know, obviously, in this sport, to upgrade your roster from outside during the season. That said, have you thought about, and you have a lot else on your mind, have you thought about going to Mike or Chris and saying, we need to look at other practice squads, we need to supplant some of the players we have with different players?
So we do that. Every Monday we come in, we end up having a meeting at night of saying, you know, is there anybody out there? Do we need to make any changes? So we're constantly having those discussions. I know Chris and his guys in personnel, they're always looking at other teams' practice squads. So when something comes up, it's, you know, it's brought up in a discussion, and then we, you know, we make the best decision for us at the time. Every week changes. Every game's another evaluation stage for us, figure out where we're at. And sometimes injuries come up to where guys go up and down, you know, on IR, PUP, things like that. So eventually we're going to have to make some changes because we're going to have these guys coming off of PUP.
Coach, first drive of the game, it looked as though you had a mismatch with the linebacker on Jarvis. I don't know if you recall that, but was it just protection that stopped you from kind of getting to that at that point? Or what happened there?
I'm trying to remember what play you're talking about.
It was the first drive of linebacker.
Oh, on the one that we got where he got hit, he was trying to throw it to Devontae. Yeah, so, I mean, in that formation sometimes when you pressure, you end up getting receivers matched up on linebackers or safeties and things like that. And, you know, for him, he wasn't a primary on that one. So his progression, if we would have been right on a progression, he got kind of off of what he wanted to do originally, just kind of the way they pressured us, we got some pressure in his face to where he had to get his eyes off it. You know, we probably would have had a chance if we dump it down to Dion, even though it's under the sticks, we got a chance to run for it. That's why it takes everybody. I mean, it's not just one guy back there. You know, you lose vision on something, you don't see what's going on. Now all of a sudden you don't convert.
Adam, can you talk about the missed tackles and the failure to contain the edge? Running play.
Yeah, it was probably the worst we've had as far as missed tackles. I would think what the thing that's for these guys that ends up happening on defense is when you have missed tackles and then guys start trying to help themselves instead of staying with their assignment and cleaning those type of things up. Now all of a sudden you get another guy out of his gap, and then it creates another hole. And then when you got two guys like they have, who have the ability to see a lot and they can make adjustments, and a guy doesn't fit right, they're going to find where you screwed up and they're going to expose you. And that's why you see all of a sudden an 8, 15-yard run ripped off. That's usually what happens. It's hard to block everybody up perfect and find that hole and have an explosive play. A lot of times what happens is when you have explosive runs, it's because somebody misfit the run. And we had way too much of that going on yesterday to where one guy's trying to do somebody else's job to compensate for what happened earlier in the game. And it's just, like I said yesterday, it's like one guy putting a finger on the dam to stop the leak, and then here comes another one, and it's just you can't do that and then be successful versus the run game. And that was the story of our game yesterday.
When you have more cuts and you're still unable to kind of fit the run, how frustrating does that become as a game?
Well, it's frustrating for everybody because you're trying to take away what everybody knew what they were going to do. But it comes down to doing your assignment right, making sure that you're fitting it correctly. And as a coach, when you're working on it as much as you do during the week, you want to make sure when you hit the game, you have to do it right. And right now we're kind of at that stage where things are being fitted right in practice, and we just have to transfer it to the game. And it's just about performing under pressure. When the lights come on, we have to make sure that we're translating practice to the game.
Adam, you mentioned that Jai is somebody who stood out on offense. Anybody stand out on defense at all?
Just thinking, it was just we'd have some good, some bad. So it's hard for me to say, you know, one guy was stood out because we took our turns all over the place. I know Rashad always seems to be a guy making a lot of plays, but you know, he has his mistakes too. But a lot of times his mistakes come from when you're at that position, you can kind of gamble. And when you're a player of his caliber, you make that gamble and usually make the play. And the problem is when he does miss, it's usually it could be really bad, but good thing for him, he's such a great player that he ends up making those plays.
And you said yesterday, we built this defense to play with a lead. I'm thinking that you meant so you could turn the pass rush loose and all that, but can you expound on that, and how do you adjust when you're in a situation where you don't have the lead?
Well, when you look at the situation that we've been in all these games, is the defense has so many plays. It's one thing to stop the run. But it's one thing to stop the run for 60 plays or 50 plays, and it's because they're on the field as much as they are because we're not doing what we need to do on offense, and we're behind, so the other team's running the ball, and our guys are getting pounded on, and it wears on those guys. And, you know, over time, it's really going to affect us because we built this thing to where if we can stop the run early and then we get ahead of them, now all of a sudden you let those guys do what they do best, which obviously I'd love to see Cam pass rush more. I'd love to see Mario and Sue and JJ be able to rush the passer as much as possible. But when you're down by 10 or 14 or 7 for most of the game, now that team is able to stay balanced. And it doesn't put us at our strength.
And how do you counter that? What's your next move as a defense?
Yeah, you just keep moving pieces around. You keep trying to figure out a way. Is there a different kind of personnel grouping that we want to throw out there? You know, we did it yesterday. We played some different fronts and defenses and had some different guys in there and played some different fronts, trying to find ways to slow down the run. And, you know, we didn't do a good job of fitting it up and making plays when we had a chance to make plays. When we have a free runner through the hole and the defense is designed that way, we have to make the tackle. And it really comes down to guys just selling out and going fast through there and then finishing the play.